vaporize, and you take it in and in and in, and there is a sound like the crumpling of a plastic bread wrapper, or the crackling or the flame, and a tone,
All right, you're listening to Kootenai Co-op Radio 93.5 FM CJLY, broadcasting live from Nelson and over the worldwide mycelium on www.kootenaicoopradio.com.
There is a cheer. The gnomes have learned a new way to say who.
All right, welcome listeners. This is Fane of the Cosmos Infinite Moment. I'm your host, Dustin Sunflower. I'm in the studio live from Nelson. And later in the ship program, we will be having the co-host with the most, Reverend DeMuzzi, will be on board. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about Jim Gowk and his recent Your Voice in Ottawa, Report Number 2 from the 38th Parliament. And how he does some drug war wrangling on the bullshit side of things. We'll also be talking about how cannabis has become the focus of the drug war. How a jailed Dakine cafe owner is now running for election. The Abbotsford Police Department and how they are giving tips on how to be narcs. It seems to be a rampant kind of thing going on these days in municipalities. How to narc out your neighbor and possibly get your ass kicked. So stay tuned for that. We'll be covering entheogenesis, Mother's Day. Now, this new moon that happened this weekend managed to get a bunch of vegetables in, beans, squash, patty pan squash, what else was in there? Acorn squash and a whole bunch of different kinds of pole beans. It was a really good weekend because it rained Saturday night. Now, the new moon out under the stars, the twinkling stars, and suddenly they are swallowed up by the clouds, and the clouds drink the stars and pour them down as rain upon the people lying in the grass.
The walls, if such they be, are crawling with geometric hallucination.
And we talked of the belly button, the great marker of our ancestors. The belly button is the connection to our mother, and our mother is the connection to all our previous ancestors. So the belly button becomes the marker of the dark, lint-filled cavity of our ancestors, because the umbilicus is what joins us to our mother. And today is Mother's Day, and Mother's Day is a really big day for me. I have two mothers, because when I was a kid I was adopted and I had an adoptive mother, and later on in my life I actually found my adoptive mother. I mean, I found my birth mother. And so I actually have two mothers, and my birth mother was an amazing, amazing woman, super spiritual, super kind, really good with children, could stop nosebleeds and crying eyes and heal sore knees with one touch, and could make crying babies fall to sleep in her arms, was kind to all animals, knew the goddess and the god deep in her heart without having to express it or without really knowing at times. She was a kind and gentle woman, and I owe her everything. I owe my mom, my adoptive mom, everything. She guided me through many perils in life and put wind in my sails for any adventure that I wanted to go on. She made sure I did everything I possibly could in life, including mountain climbing, fencing, soccer, football, hang gliding lessons at age 14, just supported me and also steered me onto a spiritual path. Without her, I would have never discovered Gandhi or some of the more spiritual ends of things. So, to my mom, I love you. She passed away in 2000, but she was an amazing, amazing, amazing woman, and I owe her a lot. And to my birth mother, who I found late in my life, but who no less has gave me life, brought me into the world, and now I get to talk with her, and I get to hug her, and I get to, be with her. And so I lost one mom, but I managed to find my other mom, which is super, super. It's a really good thing. It was a handoff almost. But to all mothers out there, to all mothers, we love you. And so this first tune is kind of on the funnier side of things. This is Ben Harper.
Papa, he left home today and said he ain't coming back again. Said he ain't gonna be nobody's second best just cause mama's got a special kind of friend. Well, Papa, he left home today and said he ain't coming back no more. Said he ain't gonna take no damn backseat, and how could mama do him so low? But mama's got a girlfriend now, boy. Mama's got a girlfriend now. Mama's got a girlfriend, mama's got a true friend, and mama's got a girlfriend now. You see, mama don't watch your damn football, and your beer drinking just won't do. You're just a staying out late, and you're preaching the heat, and you never have been true. Mama, she want her somebody, Lord, who will let her be herself. So she's leaving you in your stinky damn ways, cause she's found somebody else. And mama's got a girlfriend now, boy. Mama's got a girlfriend now. Mama's got a girlfriend, mama's found a true friend. Mama's got a girlfriend now.
Welcome back. This is Fan of the Cosmos. That was Ben Harper. Mama's got a girlfriend now. So this show, I'm going to throw in a couple of mother songs just to keep in the spirit of things. Like to send out a jubilant love and appreciation of all mothers in town, all grandmothers in town, all great grandmothers in town, especially the single mothers in town. Like Melissa and Tammy and all the fine women in town who are raising sons and daughters in the world single-handedly or with help, but on their own. So, yeah, we mothers are probably the most important thing for a kid in those earlier stages. I'm finding out now with my son that he's slowly becoming a papa's boy as he gets older, so it kind of balances out after a time. I'm finding, anyway. He's getting big enough to kick my ass, so, you know, that's... Mothers and grandmothers, we love you, and you brought us into the world. It's kind of an unusual thing in our society, how we trace our ancestry through the father. The father's name is the one that's taken, whereas in ancient cultures, including the Iroquois and some of the ancient Celtic cultures, it was a matriarchal line of descent. My name, actually, Cantwell, was... I changed my name so that my son would have a matriarchal line of descent. Cantwell comes from Ireland, from Bird's great-grandmother, who was a midwife in Ireland back in the day. So, yeah, mothers are pretty important, because they're, like I was saying earlier, the umbilicus. Where does your belly button come from? All belly buttons come from the mother. All belly buttons lead back into your history and back into your genealogy and back through the primal essence of your DNA and your creation. So we love you, mothers. Now, on a wholly other point, I had a good friend return recently from a trip, and I'm going to say it's a trip, but it was more of a nightmare, I think. And my friend experienced what can only be called racial hatred or discrimination or just narrow-mindedness. And when I saw him and when I saw what the people had done, it totally hurt my heart and totally kind of called into question sometimes the loving tribe that we have here. It isn't everywhere in the world. Like, we have a beautiful thing here, but we in ourselves have to be careful that we don't go down that road. And this beautiful person, this total shining light in our community, this total hardworking, you know, just a beautiful person, scarred by hatred and racial intolerance. And I just want to say that I love you, and that, man, I just... That is going on in the world to me, is it just makes me want to work harder and I don't know, just try and express love in the world, but it's so hard when you see that. And that we love you, we support you, we cherish you. You know who you are. We cherish you so much in this community. You do so much without being asked, without being paid, without being acknowledged. And I want to tell you that we know that you're there, and that we need you there, and that we want you here, and that we cherish you deep, deep in our hearts. Oh, man. I don't think I've ever cried on air before. Love you, brother. Okay, we're gonna cut to a tune here.
Too funky. Make man a move in a dance like Cause you're too funky. Good shot a bus. Hyper hyphy stereo. Hold on, wuffiges Desaster. Auf dem Tape fressen im Blaster. Singen tun wir sowieso. Vielleicht könnt ihr es an. Zwischen Großes und Bin Laden wir die Homies ein. Denn wir sind nicht gern allein. Der eine braucht nur sein TV. Wir brauchen die Family. Go! In diesen eisigen Zeiten voll von durchgeknallten Leuten ist es unser Job, die heißen Hooks und Zeilen zu verbreiten. Du bist hart, du willst streiten, kriegst einen Halbsteifen beim Falten. Geh doch in die USA und feier da. Geh Bullen reiten. Geh bloß uns nicht auf den Sack, weil du zu feige bist zu tanzen. Zieh die teure Jacke aus, du Körperklaus. Zeig, was kannst wir muten gut in jedem Look, im Freshen und Verranzen. Du mit deinem Benny Miles schockst die Vorstadt, Pomeranzen, das will. Wambach, we war top of the week. Cool and deadly, if we go dancing, we lady. Then my dance, ya too funky. Make man a move in a day, dance like Tokyo. Wambach, we war top of the week. We cool and deadly, if we go dancing, we lady. Then my dance, ya too funky. Good shot a boss, you tell me tell you say we. Burn it. What a vibration. See if shake what you shake, babe. Dive in your leg, clean, come away. Then make this tune earthquake. Do you tape it naked, sunbake it? I can tape it in my toaster. If I take right a toaster, roll a coaster. Ain't no fake man. Top to coast, we want the most. So late. Slipping your legs. No turn back. It's your dance all drop. Gonna kill a cocky killer. Get loose in your words. Put a smile on your face. Set the dance on fire. Cause the flow of a girl and man from creation is meant to be a divine combination. To all of my brethren in a land, hey. Don't waste time and give them girl satisfaction. Back, we water pump, we cool and deadly. If we go dancing, we lady. Then my dance, ya too funky. Make man a move in a day, dance like Tokyo. One back, we water pump, we cool and deadly. If we go dancing, we lady. Then my dance, ya too funky. Gunshot a bus, you tell me tell you say we.
Okay, welcome back, listeners. Just had to cool down there. Whew. Brutalization is a human experience that just, I don't know, strikes terror in my heart. So, okay, we'll just keep going here. So recently, if you would have been going to your mailbox or you would have been going and checking your mail, you might have received the report number 2 from the 38th Parliament, spring 2005, from Jim Gowk, MP. Now, Jim has always been on the side of legalization of cannabis, but in a striking and often, I can't believe, kind of an idiotic move, the guy in the middle, like, not, it's not on the back page, it's not whatever, it's right in the middle, and as you open it up, there's a person standing there with all their kind of x-rayed organs, and the head title of the piece is called What Marijuana Does to Your Body, and on the left side it has negative effects, and on the right side it has positive effects. Let's run through some of these effects, shall we? on the brain, causes changes in brain chemistry. Marijuana hinders the neurotransmitter acetylcholine, a chemical that triggers various types of signals throughout the nervous system. Well, gee whiz, everything affects that neurotransmitter, including coffee, sugar, sex, high-fat foods, television, radio, light, hot water. You know what I mean? So it's totally ridiculous. Next one. Mood and behavior leads to difficulty in concentration, attention to detail and learning, new complex information, and also impairs time perception, as well as certain aspects of memory, at least in the short term. Stay tuned. We're going to go through the rest of them soon. The next is the heart. So with the heart, let's tune in and welcome Reverend DeMuzzi, who's coming in over the phone. Reverend DeMuzzi, are you there?
I'm online.
Okay, you're online, buddy. You know what we're just going through right now is the What Marijuana Does to Your Body thing that was included in the Jim Gowk report from Parliament.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Did you see that? Did you see it?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Okay, so we're going to the heart. These are some of the negative effects. Heart increases the work of the heart. The changes in heart rate and blood pressure are the same as those found in a person under high stress. I don't get that, really. I've never seen a stressed-out pot smoker in my life. Next, lungs. Is more irritating, 50% more tar than tobacco, and has a greater effect on the upper airways, sinuses, and larynx than tobacco. May cause lung, head, and neck cancer. If you're smoking good organic outdoor herb, I can't see how. There may be more tar, but guess what? There's less fiberglass. There's less chlorine-enriched paper. There's less chemicals that they add to tobacco.
Is there more tar? Is that just a commonly accepted...
Well, I think if you... I don't believe it myself, but let's just go err on the side of, like, caution and just say that the chemicals that are found in tailor-made cigarettes are way worse for you than anything you could find in a good organic outdoor herb.
On top of that, the cannabis has anti-carcinogenic properties.
Yeah, they don't mention that, unfortunately.
Which is why cannabis doesn't cause lung cancer.
Yeah. So here's the next one, Dan, and you'll really like this, because I know you've been to the Silicon Valley before. Sexual performance may reduce the number and quality of sperm and damage their mobility, possibly affecting fertility. Possibly affecting fertility.
That's
possibly
ridiculous.
Affecting fertility.
That's ridiculous. You know, it's funny because I suggested in an earlier article that this may mean that cannabis might one day provide a useful and fun male contraceptive. It's interesting that you know things that cause female infertility are sold and by the millions by pharmaceutical companies and make tons of profits for the elite, but when it comes to a little herb that may possibly reduce
sperm count.
But the truth is that it doesn't damage mobility. It actually regulates motility, and this is according to a study that was done in Canada, again by some pretty weird guys who didn't use the whole cannabis. They used THC.
Okay, get this, Dan.
Synthetic THC.
We're going to the Kootenai Co-op. We look around. There's people from all over the Kootenais. Probably a lot of them smoke pot. And what do you see? I see lots of round bellies. I see lots of newborn babies on fresh breasts. I see mothers giving birth all over the place. Now, if marijuana is affecting fertility, something's up. You know, like, let's take the Slocan Valley. The population of the Slocan Valley has been steadily increasing with pot use.
Well, Well, I don't know. I mean, like, there's a lot of different places in the Kootenays where pot's smoked all throughout the Kootenays and all throughout BC, in fact. So, I mean, it's not just limited to the Spokane Valley.
No, I know. You know what I mean. I'm making a joke out of it. Come on, buddy.
Yeah.
But, like, we're talking fertility. I don't know. If pot affects fertility, something's up in the Kootenays. You know, like, something's amiss.
Well, I think it's like, you're right. You're very right. It's like, there's no way it just is fertility.
Okay, now this is the last one on the negative effects, and this one should get a good laugh from all listeners. Blood flow. Decreases blood flow to the limbs, which in extreme cases may require amputation. Oh, Jim, come on now. Jim, what are you talking about?
I think that maybe he smoked some and they had to amputate his head.
Yeah, I'm serious, man. Be careful. Like, I have never, ever heard of someone having to have a limb amputated because they had decreased blood flow to their extremities.
That's ridiculous.
So, if we go to the other side of the page, which is on the right side of the page, we have the positive effects. Pain increases the increases sense of euphoria, may help minimize pain from migraine headaches and from the spread of cancer. Not may, does, has been clinically shown to. Eyes, reduces interocular pressure, helping those afflicted with glaucoma. 3, spasticity. It's shown to help calm spasms from spinal cord injury, MS, and possibly epilepsy. In the early 1900s, cannabis tinctures were marketed as antispasmodics. And then 4 is stomach. Helps restore appetite in people who have lost weight from cancer or AIDS. And 5, nausea. Combats nausea from chemotherapy and helps minimize vomiting. Now, you notice that all the positive effects are just medicinal. Just for people who are suffering from ailments. Doesn't mention anything about relaxing you, reducing stress, all the effects, the positive effects that cannabis has been helped, that has been shown to help. Like what, Ben?
Hey?
Like what? What thing? What? What have they missed here?
What have they missed? What do you mean?
On the positive effects.
What are we talking about again? No, I'm just.
Okay, back to the negative effects. Brain causes changes in brain chemistry. Are you there?
Oh yeah.
Are you having blood flow problems?
I think I just had to have one of my limbs amputated.
Okay. Oh, man. So, yes, listeners, Jim Gowk is a very confused politician, especially in his education regarding marijuana. What a totally crazy thing to put in your report. And you know what? There's nothing to explain why he put it in here, how it came in here, what these sources are, whether or not they're even, you know, made up or, you know, there's nothing to show how he came to these conclusions or how the person who created this stunning piece of propaganda, how they came to create it. Another piece of garbage from your MP, Jim Gowk.
Well, you know, at least he put a positive sign. At least it wasn't all bad.
Listen, buddy, your time in the marijuana party political scene, I think, is...
Remember when Gowk came by the smoke and we all had a big puff together?
Yeah, I know. He's even been to the smoke. Like, he should know that, you know, it can't affect you that bad. I mean, I don't have any amputated limbs or... I have a kid, like, you know what I mean? Can't affect you that bad.
I'm gonna beat him over the head with my
amputated limb.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Cannabis addict Reverend Amuzi was charged with assault today after beating Jim Gauck, MP, with his amputated limb. It's just so crazy. I just can't believe it. So you got any juicy news items or things that you want to lay on the listeners?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just feeling a little bit dark or something. I don't know why. Spring and all.
It's Mother's Day.
Yes, Smother's Day.
Oh, God. It was new moon. Maybe you're in the, like, dark cycle of the night or something.
I think that's what it is.
I think you need to smoke some cannabis. It may help with your sexual performance.
Yeah, you never know.
Maybe your sperm will figure it out or something.
No, I don't seem to have any problem with that.
You don't have any kids, eh? You know what I mean? All the heaviest smokers I know have kids. Like,
I know, because it makes you horny. That's why.
I know. It's a known aphrodisiac. Aphrodisiac. No, I'm kidding. Remember that show when we were like...
I know. You need an echo effect there in the studio, buddy.
I know. I need some special effects pedals. Yeah. Well, at least this week you're not actually in the studio, so I can't really be affected by... any morbid evacuations of the bowels.
Yeah, or yours.
Yeah, that's true.
For that matter.
We're safe.
We're both safe.
We're at a phone lengths away from bad smells. So, come on, any juicy tips from the archives of cannabis culture?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's some stuff going on. Let's see here. I was sort of looking through the news and stuff, and I was thinking, though, with, you know, if society is really going to hell and all that stuff, you know, if this really is, you know, if we really have passed the point of no return with the environment and all that stuff, then, and we're going to, you know, develop or use radical new technologies in order to survive, even on a small scale, then maybe it's time now for all of us previous hippies to sell out and go whole hog and get our last a chunk of the last piece of the pie, so that we have enough money to survive when the big winter comes.
Have you been talking to Mark Emery again?
No, just a little bit of I don't know, Machiavellian logic or something. I don't know.
The end justifies the beans. What, like? What do you mean? We should all go out and buy pieces of land and stock up on garbanzo beans? Like, what do you mean?
No, like, start logging companies and...
Oh, you mean, like, make the profit off the destruction so
yeah,
that
why not?
We have cash for when the end of the world comes?
Is it going to stop? Like, is it going to stop? Is anybody going to stop it? No. Is it already past the point of no return? Most people say yes. So if it's past the point of no return, then what the heck are we going to do about it?
But return to what? The point of no return to what?
In other words, is there any way that we can avert wide-scale environmental destruction, like, with the massive climate change that entails, and the massive depopulation of the planet that entails, and the droughts and the famines and all the weird stuff that's on its way, you know? Are we going to be able to avoid that at this point? Well, most people say no, so if we're already headed over the cliff anyways, you know... You know, if there's no way to stop, you know, who cares how fast you paddle or what direction you paddle in, really?
Buddy, are you in the dark side here? What's going on?
I'm just thinking.
Okay.
Just thinking. I don't know.
Did you call your mom today?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, she's doing. Did you call yours?
Yeah, I did. Or actually, she called me. She beat me to the punch. I did call her, but she wasn't in, and then so she called back. It was good.
That's nice. Did she having a good mom's day or what?
She went and she was taking care of her mom, who's in like a nursing home or whatever. So she's a kind soul, that's for sure.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on Mother's Day.
Yeah, mothers taking care of mothers. It's pretty awesome.
Well, there's another story here in, what is it? It's the, where this story came out. It's called Police Warn of Potent Marijuana, and it was published in the East Valley Tribune, Arizona. And this story, again, warns of the dangers of PC Bud.
Oh no.
It's 4 to 12 times more potent than Mexican naturally grown marijuana, and it could be coming to a high school near you, police warn.
Oh my god, like, this is, you see how they're like mirroring news stories about, you know, high grade heroin is hitting the shores of BC from Afghanistan and this kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, like sensational stories.
That's ridiculous. If it, it's this whole like that you try to make something seem dangerous just because it's foreign, almost. You know, it's foreign, it's
yeah.
dangerous, and it's ruining our economy. It's
now,
BC Bud.
Is that an American thing?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Of course, it's not ruining the American economy at all, and I guess they wouldn't really even suggest that it is. But
okay, listeners, guess what? Americans can grow pot. They figured out that if you put electricity into a bulb, you can actually grow pot. We figured it out decades before they did, and now the Americans have figured it out, and they are growing their own pot. They don't need to get BC pot. It's so hilarious that they're still like BC Bud.
Well, actually, all the people who originally came up here and started the marijuana industry up here were Americans.
Exactly.
And and some of them, believe it or not, actually stayed there and grew it there, and they in fact they grow most of their own pot, and it's just as good. They use the same techniques. It's just as good as the stuff here.
I know, it's so funny, as if BC Bud, but that's the thing, they want to get into BC. BC accounts for the total percentage of BC Bud in America is 1%. Mark that down, listeners. 1%. So, you know, where are they getting the other 99? Well, actually, all of Canada accounts for 2%. So where are they getting the other 98%? Well, half of it comes from their own people.
But I like Patty Roberts' theory. I think he calls it the market power theory or something, where, you know, he explains things like why, you know, for so long cocaine could flow so easily into Canada, and yet it was, you know, relatively difficult to get pot into the States.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because, you know, the Americans don't really care whether it's illegal or not. All they care about is, you know, who's making the money on it. And
mm-hmm.
if there's Canadians making money on BC Bud, that means that there's money leaving their country.
Exactly.
It's cash, and they don't like that.
It's basically like a trade war.
Yes.
That's what I told the reporter from the States who was here last week. I was like, look, we'll make a deal with the United States. Holy Smoke Culture Shop, in conjunction with all of growers in BC, will make this deal with the American government. No more BC Bud will flow into the States as long as no more American cocaine comes into Canada. We will make that guarantee. We will make it happen. If the American government can make sure no American cocaine comes into Canada, we will make sure the 1% of BC Bud doesn't make it into the States. I don't know if the American government might go on it. They might say yes.
I think it's a good thing that they're just as incapable of keeping attaining such a goal as the Holy Smoke Culture Shop is.
What do you mean? If they did it, Dan, we would make sure none made it down there. We would put out the word.
Oh, okay. Next thing you know, I'd see you and Paul riding around in the police car on the border trying to
exactly.
stop people from...
Exactly. You know, like those troops in the States that they just set up where they're stopping immigrants from coming into the States? They have, like, these, like, citizens... posses, almost, like where they're like at the border and they're taking the law into their own hands. We could do that with the cocaine. Like, oh yeah, you think BC Bud's bad? Well, we don't want your cocaine. But, you know, I'm not sure. I don't think George Bush would really like that, considering he makes a lot of his money from cocaine. Oh well, we tried. It was like an international diplomatic inter-provincial state kind of deal, but I don't know. We're still waiting word from the American government on whether or not they want to do that.
Well, you think George Bush would love that, you know, just all the more for him. You know, he could have a great big Coke party.
But, well, what I heard was that they make way more money off the Coke than we do off the Bud.
Oh, of course they do.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. We're hoping for the best.
It's just a big game of economics. Like the whole, you know, the whole drug trade has been surrounded by war from day one, and it goes all the way back to Bashir, right? Being, you know, as far as we know, anyways. I'm sure that there's earlier things that happened too, but people they prize 3D foreigns quite highly, and they're willing to pay a lot of money for them. And if you, if there's a large influx into a foreign land, that can affect the economy.
Totally.
And there's often been wars. I think it was Chris Bennett that suggested that the Israelites had burned the Asherites upon their altars, as described in the Old Testament, because the Asherites were burning cannabis to Asherah, the Queen of Heaven.
Wow.
And there you go, your very first example of a drug war, you know, and again, a genocide.
Yeah. So let's maybe go to a tune.
Sure.
What do you think?
Sounds good.
Okay, this tune is... It's actually not a tune. Stay tuned.
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Okay, welcome back. That was Monty Python, a brilliant commentary on power and stuff. You're listening to Kootenai Co-op Radio, 93.5 FM, CJLY, broadcasting live from Nelson and over the worldwide mycelium on www.kootenaicoopradio.com. Yes, that is my locked-in soundbite. And if you're listening down the Kootenai Lake, East Shore, Caslow, Argenta, you're listening at 96.5 FM. Reverend DeMuzzi, are you there?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking about all the crazy drug news. There's so much stupid drug news. It's hard to know where to start sometimes.
I know. It's like we exist in like romper room, you know.
Yeah.
Bam 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 bam. songs and stories and propaganda. It's the polka dot door.
How many coffees and chocolate bars did you have before the show, Dustin?
Zero. This show is sponsored by Yerba Mate, the new perk in beverages, hot beverages.
Yeah.
I'm delirious, brother, but I'm pumping it.
Good. Hey, you know, we were just talking on the break there about that. Was it in the Express, that crazy, it was like Vets News or something, or Pets and Vets or something?
Oh, yeah, home. Yeah.
And they were talking about how, in the column, they're warning about pets eating marijuana may cause coma. Can you just see it now? Like, somebody's, like, dog is sleeping, and they're like, my neighbors, those villains, he must have eaten one of their roaches. I'm calling the cops. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Like, just a total scare thing. Like, everywhere you turn, it seems nowadays, just more and more weird reefer madness scare. Like, aren't we over this? Didn't we educate people for the last 10 years so that they would know better than to fall for such duplicious bullshit?
But you know what? I did talk to the vet one time, and he said there's quite a number of cases of people's dogs eating the stash. Or this is the number one thing. The dog eating, like, the pot brownies or stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I got a laugh because the other day I saw a Trailer Park episode where this little dog eats the hash brownie tray and they take him to the vet. Man, I saw Trailer Park Boys for the first time, like, first full, well, almost full episode, and it was hilarious. I got to recommend it to all listeners, Trailer Park Boys.
I just want to say that if your dog eats your stash, you don't have to take him to the vet. It's not an emergency, that they come out of it just fine. The Army did studies of dogs this was like 10 or 20 years ago, the U.S. Army, and found that cannabis induced not a coma, but hibernation. And so your dog is just in like a temporary hibernation state, and they'll be fine.
But you know what? It is kind of creepy when your dog is like, its eyes are rolling around on its head and it's just lying there like, you know, like barking at imaginary sticks. And
no, they don't do that though. No, I had a girlfriend who had this a very loud and aggressive dog. And so she actually treated it with cannabis. She gave it a large dose for 3 or 4 nights in a row, and the dog was extremely quiet. And after that, its temperament was permanently changed.
Really?
It became very much more gentle. Didn't ever bite anybody again. Yeah. And was still, you know, was still like, you know, a more edgy dog than most dogs, but definitely barked a lot less and was way better tempered. In fact, she was going to market it and call it Quiet Dog.
Quiet Dog. Gentle dog. Space dog. How about space dog treats?
But I want to talk about this one other news item here before I go.
Okay.
That was from the Vancouver province. The headline is Border Guard Busted with 90 Kilograms of Pot.
A border guard?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
90 kilograms.
Holy shit, Muslim.
Now get this. Claims he was forced to carry drugs by Indo-Canadian gang.
Oh, here we go. The yellow scourge.
It was.
Those rice-eating, you know, like, here we go. Racial profiling again.
This guy, he works for the Border Patrol. He carries a weapon and is trained how to use it. He has the full backing of the entire Border Guard, also the military and the police.
And the Homeland Security.
Yeah. And he's afraid of a gang. Now, listeners, if all of those combined forces can't take care of a gang, then we're in deep trouble. I mean, I think that if one Indo-Canadian gang is a threat to the combined forces of parts, police and military, that there's something very amiss. You may want to consider starting your own gang and becoming a world power.
In fact, listeners, you can use this trademark excuse in court now. It was the Indo-Canadians. You know what I mean? Like, now everybody, It was a Chinese guy. He was about 5 feet tall. He told me that if I didn't do it, that he would send ninjas after me to kill me. And he beat me with a bag of rice. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all these kind of, like, racially... We're back to the yellow scourge. The, like, the total racist profiling that happened in the early 1920s. Like, we're going back and back.
Well, you know, it's hilarious because it's like this guy's, like, claiming that he was so afraid of this gang that he was forced to smuggle this pot across the border.
He was forced to take the money, too.
Yep, and... But he wasn't so afraid of them that he didn't blab immediately about the whole thing as soon as they busted. You know, like, don't you think if he was that afraid of them that he would keep his mouth shut and go to jail and do the time instead of like putting his family at risk?
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? Like, what
exactly.
Bullshit.
Good one.
But you know what's scary is that they actually take this stuff seriously. You know that this is a real story, that they've made a story out of this in the paper, that they've taken this guy seriously.
Like CPAP?
It was the Vancouver province, so I guess that probably made CPAC or whatever they call it.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But just that they would even write a story about this and take this guy seriously, and you know what I mean, and not criticize how ridiculous this is.
Just shows that their agenda is to target Indo-Canadians.
Well, partially, yeah, that and just to really inject fear about anything possible regarding drugs.
Yeah, exactly. Like your life could be threatened.
Yeah.
Whoa, that is just crazy. I know, you actually see it a lot more now in statistics, court cases. They use it in all kinds of sentencing things, like the threat of Indo-Canadian gangs. Basically, what it boils down to is that if these racially based groups are using funds from drugs, they may use that money to make themselves powerful or get on in the world, and that might affect the white people. You know what I mean?
Well, you can't expect these guys to hike it across the border themselves. They've all got amputated limbs.
Yeah. Their brains are suffering. They have low sexual performance. They're missing limbs. You know, they're neurotransmitters.
You'd expect it to be a headline, right?
Their lungs don't work. They can't, like... Let's face it, listeners. Pot people can't smuggle because they're so ill from smoking cannabis that they can't do it. Their lungs hurt. Their limbs hurt.
If they found a pharmaceutical drug that caused men to be able to have sex without creating children, it would be headlines. Wondrous new male contraceptive device discovered. Yeah. Contraceptive drug. You know
they did Viagra.
No, but it's not a contraceptive, is it?
No, it's not a contraceptive, but that's the thing. Like, if it can make you have sex, it's like, bum, bum, bum. Like, I get this. It's a condition called Viagravation. It's a condition where I get so tired of hearing about Viagra that I, like, get aggravated.
You Viagra?
Viagravation.
Do you have a lot of impotent friends?
No, but it's everywhere. It's like people are putting it on their plants. They're taking it even if they don't have any condition just because they think they'll have, like, super sexual performance. It's like maybe we should be finding something that might dampen that heat. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you know what I've heard?
Like, horny guys walking down the street, like,
Well, apparently it causes impotence if you take it too much.
Oh, really?
You become reliant upon it, is what I've heard.
Uh-oh.
Which, you know, cannabis doesn't do, and it also doesn't cause infertility. But anyways, so I'll let you go here on that note.
Okay, on the infertility note, here we go. It's been nice hosting with you.
Yeah, you too, Dustin. Have a good night, bro.
Yeah, happy fathering. Love you, brother.
Love you. I love everybody out there.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, that was Reverend DeMuzzi, co-host of Fane of the Cosmos, live from a secret mountain location where the cannabis culture headquarters is based. It's a facility, 15 people strong. It's the mountain stronghold of the Cannabis Culture magazine. If it was ever bombed in Vancouver, it's a under the mountain location where it could be hit with a 5-ton ball of hash and would sustain the impact and continue for the communication center for the cannabis movement. Let's go to another song. It's Mother's Day, and I tried to pick all the best mother songs I could find. So here is Pink Floyd, Mother. This is kind of a darker mother song, so, you know, they're playing all kinds.
Mother, do you think they'll drop the bomb? Mother, do you think they'll like this song? Do you think they'll try to break my balls?
Ouch.
Ooh, mother, should I build a wall? Mother, should I run for president? Should I trust the government? Do you think she's dangerous?